A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. It is a post-draft edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast. And wow, what a first round it was for the Utah Jazz, because they got Mike Conley.
Exactly.
That's really what it comes
greatest
down to.
Greatest draft pick ever, right?
This is Jeremiah Jensen joining me here on a Friday afternoon for the Jazz Notes Draft. So hopefully you're downloading and listening to us either on a Friday night or maybe on a Saturday. Enjoy the weekend. Or maybe you're going to catch this on Monday after a nice weekend out and about. But in reality, the Utah Jazz give up their first round draft pick and so much more so that they can get Mike Conley. I'm going to just give the floor to Jeremiah. He's the guy that's really been saying, yes, the Jazz need to do this deal. I'm the guy who keeps saying, no, I don't think the Jazz should do this deal. So the floor is now yours, Jeremiah. Whatever you want to say, you can even rail on me. I really
care. I'm just going to say great minds think alike. So apparently Dennis Lindsay agreed with me and Justin Zanuck and the whole crew. They knew what the right move was to make. So, yeah, I've been talking about this in other Jazz Notes editions, and I always felt like this was the right move, and I felt like this was the right play this offseason. Better than Tobias Harris, better than any of the other options that they had, because a long list of reasons. So I'll start with this. He is the point guard that they've been missing. They needed a point guard that can do the things that he can do. Now let me go through a quick list of things that he can do. Obviously, offensively, he's going to make them better. He averages 20-plus points a game, 6 assists. But what he does offensively is why he's even a much better fit. So pick and roll. 81st percentile in the league last year. He's been in the 80th percentile or more his entire NBA career. He's terrific. He's elite in the pick and roll. What do the Jazz do the most? Pick and roll. So imagine all of a sudden he's paired up with Rudy Gobert running pick and roll. He's going to become a lot more effective. Or Derek Favors or whoever it might be. He can score at three levels. He can knock down the three. He's very good in the mid-range. And then he's got that just deadly floater that he can make with his right or his left hand. You watch video of him and you're like, man, he is almost unguardable. I know he's not James Harden. That's not what I'm saying. But in the sense, like, he's very difficult for other guys to hang with. Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, all these guys that you consider some of the elite point guards in the league really have a hard time defending Mike Conley because he's so crafty with these things. Here's another thing that he can do. Not only is he great in the pick and roll, he's also fantastic in isolation. What's one thing that's lacking on the Jazz roster? Somebody who can create their own shot and make something happen when everything breaks down and score in isolation. I posted video on Twitter the other day of him destroying the Houston Rockets, who did that switching thing they did against the Jazz to try to force these kind of matchups. It worked against the Jazz because they didn't have anybody other than Donovan Mitchell that could break down a guy and take him off the dribble like that and create his own offense. Mike Conley can do it all night long. So you've got this guy who's got the offensive skill set that you're lacking to pair with Donovan Mitchell in that backcourt. Oh, by the way, he's an excellent defender. He was second-team All-NBA a few years ago, and he deserves to have more consideration when it comes to that. He's just been on bad teams a couple of last years and injured. He's coming off his best season as a pro. He averaged 21 points last year. He hasn't done that since 5 years ago in his career. He's been even better in the playoffs. He's been excellent in the playoffs. I can keep going.
Are you done patting yourself on the back, by the way? Do you want me to come over and pat you on the back, too?
And the Jazz – oh, no, I forgot this part. He's excellent off the ball. So you've talked a lot about it. So we want to give the ball to Donovan Mitchell and let Donovan Mitchell run the show? Great, because Mike Conley's a 40% shooter on catch-and-shoot threes. He's a 50% shooter on catch-and-shot, period. He can play off the ball. And ultimately, you also get it if they want, they can keep Derek Favors. They don't have to renounce Derek Favors now. So you're keeping the guy that's the senior guy on your roster that your fans love and that you love. You don't have to move Derek Favors if you don't want to. Now, we're not done yet. We haven't even entered free agency, so
yeah,
stay tuned. Right, as of right now, Derek Favors is a Jazz man, but this trade allows the Jazz that flexibility to keep Derek Favors, whereas if you wanted Tobias Harris or you wanted D'Angelo Russell or whoever it might be, you would have had to renounce Derek Favors and he wouldn't be on the team anymore.
That is Jeremiah Jensen. He is done patting himself on the back for why he thinks.
We may do that more later.
Okay. Yeah, later on in the podcast, we'll get back to you on that. I made a comment. I was on Unrivaled with Alex and Scott the other day, and they asked me, you know, the Jazz got their guy, and they said, was this a good deal now? Or, you know, I made a comment that it was the best deal right now. And I kind of talked about, because the Jazz are, and we talked about this in the last podcast, that the Jazz are they're now set to be one of the contenders in the Western Conference and could possibly go, as long as everyone stays healthy, they could possibly go to the Western Conference Finals and also go to the NBA Finals just by adding Mike Conley. And I made the comment, it's also good for them because of the guys that they gave up. This was a better deal now than it was when they were thinking about doing this in the season because, as you said, the trade possibly involved Dante Exum. The trade possibly involved Derek Favors. So I think the deal is better now. It kind of sounds like from what you were saying, you kind of agree in that part with me, that the deal was better now rather than back when right before the trade deadline.
It always was going to cost them 2 first-round picks. So if your hang-up was the draft picks, then fine. You know, that's what it's going to take to get an elite player. That was probably not going to change. The names in the trade probably would have been different because back then they had $14 million on Ricky Rubio they could give up. I don't think Jay Crowder moves in that trade, so that Jay Crowder would still be a Jazz man if they pulled this off of the deadline. I feel pretty strongly about that. So my opinion is it actually hurt them to do it now, and they had less flexibility now than they would have back then.
But Derek Favors, if he's involved, he's the one guy who you said, hey, it's awesome that they get to keep him.
Was he involved? I mean, Tony Jones of The Athletic wrote something, and he had some details on it, and I can't remember if Favors was involved in the deal at that time or not. He knew what the players involved in it were. I don't remember if he mentioned Derek Favors in his article, so I'm spacing that right now. If Derek Favors would have had to be part of the deal back then, yes, but I don't think he would have had to because they're absorbing Mike Conley into space, and the $14 million that Ricky Rubio would have had wiped off the books would have allowed them to do that under the cap. So I guess it comes down to, do you love Jay Crowder or not? And so in that sense, if that's the case, then I feel like it would have been better back at the trade deadline. But it's still going to cost you 2 first-round picks. So.
Let me answer that question on do you love Jay Crowder or not. Yes and no. I know that sounds kind of like a wishy-washy answer.
No, that's an absolute fair answer.
I want to say I love him in the locker room. I love what he brings to this team. It's kind of like what Joe Ingles brings to this team. They're great teammates that you want on the floor, and a guy that you like having around. That was the other thing, is that he actually felt at home here because his dad had played here, and that he felt like the Jazz actually wanted him. And so that was probably the good part. The part that was not to like was he was never afraid to shoot from the outside. And yes, the Jazz offense was better when he was on the floor, when he was playing that stretch four position, but in reality, he was not a good shooter. He is one of the streakiest shooters out there. When he is on, then you're like, okay, get it going, keep going, keep shooting the ball. But when he's off, he tries to shoot himself out of slumps. And I don't have a percentage on it or anything like that, but it just seemed like in those games, he just could not shoot himself out of slumps. So I'm a yes and no guy. I like Jay Crowder a lot, but I don't like sometimes what he does on the floor for your team. And sometimes he hurts you picking up technical fouls, kind of being stupid on the floor. But in reality, I like him in the locker room, and I like him as a Jazz man. I just don't like how much time he was getting, and sometimes I didn't like his shooting either.
Yeah, the three-point shooting was not consistent enough. But outside of that, I mean, he had Jazz DNA. Fans loved him. The team loved him. He kind of embraced the city and the state and the franchise and everything. And so there was a bond between him and the fans, and you saw that in the play. I remember the game four when they won, and he had that and one early. He had a great start to that game four. He's pounding his chest. The whole place is going nuts. He's had some other moments too. When they beat Boston at home, that was the first time he got a win over Boston. Quinn comes over and gives him a hug. Those are great moments, and fans are going to remember those moments, and I think Jay's going to remember those moments. But here's the reality, and this is what fans have to understand, is if you want to get better and you want a great player, you're going to have to give up something in return. And that's just how this works. And the Grizzlies wanted Jay, and the numbers worked out right, and that's how this works. This is a business. And so, and Jay understands that. His Instagram posts and social media, he's thanked Salt Lake City for 2 great years, and he was on to Memphis. He understands this. He's been a part of this before. He's been traded from Boston to Cleveland. He moved from Dallas to Boston. This is not his first rodeo.
Yeah.
So he gets how this works. And so I think what he gave this franchise for the 2 years he was here, nearly 2 full seasons, is going to be appreciated. He's going to be remembered as a pot. And when he comes back to Utah, he's getting a standing ovation from fans because people here love him, and he earned that.
Many national NBA writers, by the way, are speculating that Jay may not stick with the Grizzlies.
That's
just
possible.
Because of where the Grizzlies are headed right now. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's actually on another team here soon that he actually never plays for Memphis. I would say if Jay is ever released for whatever reason, I wouldn't mind seeing him back here in Salt Lake City.
Of course not.
I'm not against Jay Crowder. I'm just saying there are games that I love him and there are games that I hate him. And it just seemed like there were more games that I hated than I loved. It had nothing to do with what happened in the locker room or who he was in the community.
And I think your ultimate point is losing him or keeping him wouldn't be worth not getting Mike Conley.
Exactly.
Which you try to avoid Facebook posts and stuff, but there's people out there that thought the Jazz gave up too much for Mike Conley. I'm like,
no.
Why do you think they didn't? Why would you think they gave up too much? Explain this to me. Mike Conley is an unbelievable player. He's borderline all-star, and he averaged 21 points a game last year. Why are you so upset that they gave up Jay Crowder, who is a good player, but we already talked about what he lacks. Kyle Korver, who's about ready to retire. If he's not retiring, he's not going to give you more than 10 or 15 minutes a game. Grayson Allen maybe has potential, but he couldn't crack the rotation as a rookie. And then you're giving up probably 2 late first-round picks.
Oh, well. Who could be rotation. And that's the thing. You have to look at it as, were you willing to give up the future for the now?
Right.
Because that's really what Memphis was trading for. The players were nice just to make the salaries work out. And, yeah, it might be nice to have Jay if he sticks around. And Grayson might turn into a nice rotation guy. But in reality, it's like the Jazz want to win right now. And the Memphis Grizzlies are looking to the future. And so they're going to covet those picks. So as long as you're okay with giving up those 2 first-round picks, this year's pick, and that pick was eventually traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder,
right.
And the Memphis Grizzlies ended up getting Grant Williams from the University of Tennessee. By the way, we had a podcast on Grant Williams if you want to go back and listen to that.
Oh, you're talking about Brandon Clark, you meant.
I'm sorry, Brandon
Memphis.
Clark. Yeah, yes. Brandon Clark. I'm sorry. Grant Williams ended up with the Boston Celtics.
Right.
We talked about Brandon Clark, too.
Yeah.
And so if you really wanted a Brandon Clark on your team, I guess maybe that's nice. But in reality, the Jazz are thinking of the now. And they could go out and get a borderline, as you talked about, an all-star player. And the only reason he's not an all-star, as everyone knows, is because there's so many good point guards in the Western Conference. If you're willing to give that up and look at yourself and say, yeah, I feel okay with that, then I think it's fine. Giving up too much, I didn't look at that deal and say the Jazz gave up too much. If the Jazz would have given up Derek Favors, then I'm starting to say, yeah, you're giving up too much. Dante Exum, I could have said yes or no to, but it's nice having him here because I think the Jazz really believe in him and they think that he's going to turn a corner. He just needs to stay healthy. That's really what it is when it comes to that. Okay, now I gave Jeremiah the floor early on and I said to him, go ahead, you can have it. Pat yourself on the back, take a lap or two. But I do have a quick question for him, and it goes back to something that I've talked about, the reason why I didn't want Mike Conley to come, and that is that the Jazz backcourt is a little smallish now. I know Donovan Mitchell has a long reach, but he's still really only about 6'2", 6'3", and Mike Conley is about 6', 6'1". Does that worry you at all, Jeremiah? And the only reason it worries me is that I watched that Portland-Golden State matchup. I know how good Golden State is. I know they've got good defenders. But I watched that, and they blitzed Damian Lillard. And they basically took the ball out of his hands. And he also was matched up against taller guys, and he had a hard time getting his shot off. I'm just worried that's the same thing that's going to happen if the Jazz face another team with big guards. Now, it's not going to be Golden State this next year, because of what's happened to Klay Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be another team out there. They could blitz Donovan Mitchell and force Mike Conley. The good thing is Mike Conley could probably handle it compared to maybe what Ricky Rubio, or at least Ricky Rubio's skill set is. But it still worries me that you have this smallish backcourt. What do you have to say about that?
I mean, you mentioned that Damian Lillard got blitzed in the Western Conference Finals by the best team in the league at the time. I mean, obviously they had the injuries in the finals, so let's call them the second best team in the NBA. They made it to the Western Conference Finals with a smallish backcourt. I'm going to go to the Raptors, Kyle Lowry. And there was times when Fred VanVleet was on the floor too. That's a small guard lineup, right? I'm not too worried about it. If you have matchup issues and you're playing against bigger guys, maybe you mix in Dante in there and that kind of balances things out. We don't know yet what kind of depth they're going to have in the backcourt. Well, Donovan Mitchell's 6'1", 6'2". All right, let's give him more credit than that, 6'2", 6'3". He plays big. He's just such a dynamic athlete, and he's strong that I don't see it as a problem. Mike Conley is pretty adept at floating the ball over defenders. Pretty tough, hard-nosed guy. He gets after on both ends of the floor. I mean, you're right. You'd rather have your guys 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
But as skilled offensively as these two guys are, I don't think it's going to be a problem, and I think the Jazz will be just fine.
Arguing against myself, the one thing I will have to say is, if the ball's in Mike Conley's hands and he gets it out to Donovan on the perimeter, I've watched Donovan enough that he, when he shoots that three-point shot or when he shoots a jump shot, he gets up. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's timid, right, or anything like that. He gets up with that shot. That's the one great thing I love about Donovan, is the fact that when he shoots a jump shot, he jumps.
Mm-hmm.
He's really doing that. Sometimes he has a little bit more difficulty when he's going to the hole, but I think a lot of that had to deal with who he was playing around this past year, and I think that's going to be alleviated. Now, Derek Favors, on the other hand, still on the team, at least mm-hmm. for right now, he's still on the team, and I think he's going to stick on the team. That's just my opinion. I know nothing about it. But
I have no intel either.
Yeah. So let's say he sticks with this team. He's on there. See the starting power forward when the season starts?
I think he is, and then you have the issue of how do you deal with the offensive situation with that. That'll have to play out, but I don't think it's going to be any different than it was last season and the season before that. I think you're going to have a starting lineup of Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors, Joe Ingles, Donovan Mitchell, and Mike Conley. And then you're able to bring Royce O'Neal and Dante Exum off the bench. George Niang is going to see an expanded role as a stretch four, which I'm very curious to see how he can respond. I think he's an excellent shooter, and I think he can get better at shooting. So I'm high on George Niang. And then we'll see what else they can add in free agency.
Do you think that's their number one thing, is finding a four, or is it still, you know, we heard Dennis Lindsay talk about needing a sniper in this offseason. Mm-hmm. What's the bigger need there? I would still say sniper. I think you can fill in well enough around the powered forward position, even though you do lose Jay Crowder.
You can get a sniper that's a four.
That's true.
I don't have a list in front of me of guys who could be available, and it's hard to, knowing what the numbers are, how the market's going to play out, to even predict that. So, I mean, I could throw out some free agent names, but which we may do here in a second. But that sniper or those shooters can come at any of those positions, and I think that is definitely something that they're going to be focused on. They were focused on it last night in the draft. I mean, the guys they took in the second round were shooters. So that's what they're looking to get better at and improve on. I think they saw that last year, that the offense bogged down way too many times. They had too many guys on the floor that weren't shooters. So I think they're going to try to rectify that.
All you have to do is dial back up the first round of the Western yep. Conference playoffs with the Jazz and Rockets, and how many wide-open threes the Jazz just missed.
Brick City.
And that included not having Kyle Korver on the floor,
right,
for different reasons, injury, just having a hard time matching up with guys.
The bone bruise.
But speaking of that, if the Jazz do need a sniper, let's play a little game here.
All right.
I'm playing the match game music just because, you know, I love the match game.
Well, we're looking for a match, right?
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
trying to match a free agent with the Jazz, and hopefully it's a happy marriage.
The Jazz are looking for blank, and then Jeremiah's going to hurry and write that down. For all you young kids out there, this is an old-time TV show.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they revived the match game on ABC
or
something.
Oh, I'm sure they
like
have.
That.
Yeah, you can just watch the Game Show Network if you're curious.
Yeah. So, perfect match. I'm looking at how much the Jazz will have in salary, which is not going to be a lot.
No, probably a mid-level.
Who can they afford? So I'm going to play a game here with Jeremiah. I'm going to name off a whole bunch of guys. We'll see how he reacts. Should the Jazz even think about going after these guys?
Okay.
First on the list, Nick Stauskas.
No.
Okay. By the way, I would agree with you on that. Remember, he was drafted really... He was a lottery draft pick, and now he just can't stick with the team. Trey Burke.
No.
Isaiah Thomas.
Is this really where we're at?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Gerald Green.
No.
Because of defense?
I didn't play much in that series last year at the Rockets. That tells you something.
I would probably say because of defense.
Probably.
But I think that's it. Austin Rivers.
Mm. Is he a free agent?
He is a free agent.
Austin Rivers.
I think I got that right. I hope I have
Look,
that right.
Look, I'm thinking about it. If he's a free agent, I would think about it. I can't say yes, though.
Okay. He's one of those combo guard guys that can do some good things for you, and he will give you good defense. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure how reliable of a shooter he is, and I think that's what the Jazz are looking for. Let's see. Jamichael Green.
I like him. Yeah, I would if that's a possibility and he's a free agent, I would look at that.
Garrett Temple.
Yes, older player, but he's kind of in the mold of what they're going to be looking for, yes.
3-and-D type of guy.
Absolutely.
And that, he, you know, just,
he's a stretch four.
A little aside here, too. I think he can play the 3 and the 4.
Right.
He's a veteran guy like you talked about. He may not command a lot of salary. He could also look at the Jazz and say, huh, they got something going there. Yeah, maybe I'll go to Utah for a season. I think I could handle it there. I know you're going to say no on this one, but I thought I'd just throw it in there just for fun. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I'm not going to say no as quickly as you think.
Really?
I think you got to – I mean, it depends on what money he's looking at. And he's not. It's definitely not a 4, and the Jazz may have too many wings. Maybe. Let's consider him a maybe.
I know you said to me before – no on Rodney Hood. I'm just going to throw his name out there again.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Not coming back.
Okay. I just wanted to throw his name out there again now that, you know, since Mike Conley is now a member of the Utah Jazz, I want to see if it changed. But, you know, how many more lefties can you have on it? No, I'm just teasing. I'm not against lefties. Seth Curry. Shortish. He could play with Dante Exum in the second unit.
Yeah, he
pretty
could.
Good shooter. Not sure you'd want him in the game at the end of games.
He was great with Portland. That's a tough one. I don't know that. I think they're a little too. They've got too many numbers in the backcourt there. So I would probably have to pass on him. But he's a good player.
Trevor Ariza.
Yes. Yes. Please.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe
yes,
even
yes.
over like a Garrett Temple or Jamichael Green.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Trevor. That's the name that moves the meter for me the most that you've mentioned so far. Trevor Ariza would be a perfect fit. I don't know if the Jazz can afford him, to be honest, but if they can, then absolutely Trevor
Ariza.
And
I'm not sure they could either. I will say that.
We don't know. Yeah. And if he's available and he wants to come play for the Jazz, yes.
Let's see. Last three are all forwards.
Okay. It's
probably Jeff Green.
For. No.
I would say no, too.
Yeah.
I know you're going to say no to this one. Jabari Parker.
I'm not going to say no.
Really?
Yeah,
because before you said no because of the fact that he couldn't shoot. What changes your mind
Jabari
now?
Jabari Parker, I think he can't shoot, but he can score, and it depends on value. How much are you paying Jabari Parker? Because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. The market was really slim for him when he got the offer from the Bulls, and that was an insane offer for $20 million a year. He's not getting 20 a year.
No. But
so where's he at now, and how much money is he going to command in the market? If you're able to get Jabari Parker for the mid-level, which would be a $4.7 million that the Jazz have, all of a sudden I'm a little more interested. Maybe I'm a little more willing to roll the dice. There's obviously the concerns about defense and some of the stuff that – I mean, he's a good guy, but like the stuff – like some of the attitude and the things that's been said – as far as his game goes, are a little troubling, especially the defense thing. At 4.7, I'm rolling the dice on Jabari Parker.
Okay, last one, because I think... No, actually, this guy is a restricted free agent.
Okay.
It's Bobby Portis. But I don't know what's going to happen in Washington, because the last three guys, by the way, that I mentioned are all Washington Wizards. I'm not sure how it's all going to play out in Washington, especially with how the draft went. Bobby Portis may end up becoming an unrestricted free agent, mm-hmm. or maybe the Jazz just say, we'll pay you this much, but... I don't know what's going to happen, but let's throw the salary out. Just would you take a Bobby Portis?
Yes.
Okay, I would too.
Good player.
He's a hustler.
He can shoot.
He can shoot.
Yep.
doesn't mind throwing a punch. I'm sorry, I had to say that.
The what?
He doesn't mind throwing a punch.
Of course. Well,
yeah. Remember what happened in Chicago?
Guess who else is going to be a free agent? Mirotić.
Ah, that's right.
Not on your list, but...
I didn't even throw Nikola Mirotić, just because I thought that he would probably command or want more money than the Jazz could possibly have.
Well, that's the problem, is that what salary ranges are we looking at here? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there. The market is pretty rich right now with guys that can play, and there's guys that can shoot out there. Let me throw out a couple more. Darius Miller with the Pelicans is a guy that might be a really good fit. Wilson Chandler's older, but another guy that can shoot, and maybe he's got something left in the tank. Here's one I think Jazz fans would love, and I'd love to see this. Bring back the Junkyard Dog. Damari Carroll. Huh? Who says no?
Wow. I might say no. Maybe
really?
It's just because it's a – not because, again, it's kind of like the thing with Jay Crowder, except for I'm going to say maybe I don't want to do it because, you know, since Damari's left, he's had a hard time staying healthy. And granted, you're taking a chance. You're just saying we'll give you the mid-level exception if he mm-hmm. accepts that. You know, he fits in well with this team. He could end up finishing games depending on how things go. I don't know. I hesitate maybe because of the injuries. That's where I would hesitate. I'd love to have his attitude, and I'd love it if he was shooting well. But
well,
it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
He checks the boxes. But of all the names you mentioned, Trevor Ariza really appeals to me. And
you're right. We don't know if the Jazz yep. are even going to be able to afford him. The way things are playing out, I would really be surprised. So free agency is going to officially, they can start negotiating on June 30th, which is going to be next weekend. So they're going to be able to do that on the 30th. And then you're going to move into, on July 1st, you can actually start signing guys. I don't anticipate the Jazz signing anyone in early free agency period. And I could be wrong. Maybe they move on someone and maybe some guy says, yeah, I just want to hurry and sign and get this over with so I know who I'm playing for. But, I mean, if that all they have is the mid-level exception, depending on how things shake out with Derek Favors, I would think it's going to be down the line before the Jazz finally get their guy.
Yeah, I don't anticipate getting a big-name free agent, and that's when those signings are made. But I'm not ruling it out either. I think the Jazz, so Justin Zanuck said after the draft, you can look into what obviously GMs are going to be positive and say things as they get ready for something like this. Yeah, we're going to go full steam ahead. But he said that the Jazz would be still are not done. It's Justin Zanuck, Jazz GM, after the draft last night, said the Jazz are going to be aggressive in free agency. They're not done. That's why when the Conley trade happened, I was like, oh wow, Derek Favors is staying. I'm not 100% sure about that yet, because if somebody comes along that they want to throw some money at, they can renounce Derek and they can get around 20 something million dollars where they could go after a name. Now that, again, how are you going to supply the depth to your team? That creates some issues for them. I don't know. I guess my point is the Jazz aren't done yet, and they have some ideas, and they have some things out there. They're going to kick the can on some things, and they still have that option if they want to renounce Derek Favors and get that $16.9 million back on the market. So something to look out for. Not predicting anything big, but the Jazz are certainly going to swing for the fences if they can.
Before the Mike Conley trade and before the draft, we thought that the Jazz were going to have to trade away the 23rd pick, whether it was going to be to Conley yeah. or maybe just to free up some salary room. That's exactly what they did. And then I think we both agreed that we thought the Jazz would trade back into the second round to get more players. That's exactly what they did. What I didn't expect is them to not do it until the 50th pick. I get why that happened now, because
yeah.
if you saw some of the teams trading back into the second round to go up and get the guys that they wanted, they were having to give up multiple second-round draft picks or something along those lines. And
$2 million for a 40th pick?
So I don't think the Jazz were willing to do that, but they were willing to pick up three guys. Jarrell Brantley was picked at number 50. He's a smallish power forward, but as you mentioned, he can shoot. Justin Wright Foreman, a point guard who is the is he the second all-time leading scorer for Hofstra?
I think
it is.
He was a star there. Uh-huh.
And he led I think he was the conference player of the year 2 years in a row.
He was second in the NCAA in scoring last
year.
Yeah,
he can shoot. And then you got Mia Oney. Sorry, I blew your name.
Mia Oney.
Mia Oney. They picked him up from Yale, a wing player. So the second part of our game is we're going to play – they do this on Unrivaled all the time. They play, what are the odds? So
yeah.
I'm going to play that with Jeremiah. What are the odds, percentage-wise right now, Jeremiah, that any of these guys get significant playing time, not with Salt Lake City Stars, but with the Utah Jazz this next season. Significant stance. So we'll start with Jarrell Brantley.
5%.
You're talking about all of them together?
All of them together? I mean, that's my overall.
Are you talking about?
Let's start with Brantley.
Well, I want to go real quickly.
5%.
5%, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that? Just because you think the Jazz are going to
go
out
and get... By the time the Jazz are done, I don't think this team's going to go into the season depending on a second-round draft pick to be in the rotation. I just don't think that's going to be the case. They're going to go out and get the guys they need in their rotation in free agency, and I don't anticipate that. Brantley is terrific. I think he's got a lot of potential, but they've made these picks with development in mind. So it's going to be a while before we see them on the court. I'm excited to see Brantley in summer league to see how he competes. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves as you're asking me about these guys, but I want to see all three of these guys in summer league on the same team. I think that's going to be pretty fun because all of them can score and all of them can shoot.
Are you thinking 5% with all of them, or do you
think
either
so.
One of them have so a little bit higher ceiling?
So of the three guys, I think that Justin Wright Foreman has the best shot because I think
I think he has the worst shot, but
I'll explain why I think that. The Jazz are going to need a third point guard, and they're going to have to waive Raul Neto to make the Conley trade work, by the way. I don't know if people know that. I think that they're going to have to do that. I'm almost sure. So they're going to be looking for a third point guard, and we know the history. Third point guards of the Jazz, especially with Dante Exum's injury history, usually end up seeing the floor. So that's why I think, not necessarily because of talent, but because of position, that Justin Wright Foreman has a chance to see some minutes with the Jazz next season.
I would have said that he has the worst chance, and the reason why, it's kind of like what I talked about earlier. It's defense. We saw what happened to Grayson Allen this past season because he couldn't play defense. That was the thing that we kept hearing from the coaching staff throughout the season. The reason why he's not on the floor is not because he can't play offense or he can't dribble or shoot or do any of those things. The reason why we're not seeing him on the floor is because he can't play defense. Mm-hmm. And that is one of his weaknesses right now. We know this guy can score, but he can't play defense. So that would be the reason why I'd say he has the worst chance. But oh, man, I might even buy into your argument in some ways just because of Dante Exum, but we'll see. I'd say the other guys, the only reason I would think the other guys, Jarrell Brantley, the only reason I think he has the best chance, and I gave him way too high. Maybe I'm not even going to mention my percentages because I'm going to sound foolish now. But the reason why that I put it up that high was just because of the situation at power forward.
Right.
And he seems like a hustler and a guy who will just go out there and do whatever he can. And if he is a capable shooter and he goes out and plays defense, then maybe he gets playing time. Oni, I'm not sure. The one great thing about him is you can just look at him and say, all you have to do is develop into a 3-and-D guy, and you'll probably make it on the floor at some point. I don't know when, but you'll probably make it on the floor at some point.
Well, Justin Zanuck says that's how they view him, is that he can score and he can shoot, and then they also think that he can be really good defensively, and so that's what's going to get him on the floor, you're right. Talking about Brantley, nice talent, but who's he taking minutes away? Is he going to get George Niang's minutes? What if they bring in a four? I mean, all of a sudden, you understand the depth issue there. So it's very, very difficult for a second-round pick. I'm trying to think, Shannon Anderson and Paul Millsap are exceptions.
Yeah.
But it can happen. I'm not saying it can't happen. One of these three guys, or two, or even three, might turn out to be awesome. We don't know. But the odds are not against it, and to have those kind of expectations for a second-round pick is kind of silly. So the fact that they'd even be in the Jazz mix this fall would be crazy. I expect to see most of their time coming in the G League, but they're all three are intriguing. I think the Jazz did an excellent job on draft night doing the best they could with what they had to work with and finding some guys that have the potential to play.
That's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. I appreciate Jeremiah joining me. Next week, they're going to be the rookies are going to be here. They're going to be practicing up. And then the following week, right before the 4th of July, they'll be participating in the Summer League here in Salt Lake City. We'll have much more on that coming up soon. Thanks a lot for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll have more coming up in the very near future. For Jeremiah Jensen, I'm Cleon Wall. Thanks for downloading and subscribing. We are powered by KSL Sports.